Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Ball Watching. Jake and Justin here, and we are getting you geared up and ready for the Capital of Soccer Clash. Who is it? We know the answer here in St. Louis, but our friends out west do not. Justin, how excited are we today to hop into this preview? It's going to be a fun weekend.
It's going to be extremely fun. I feel like this game kind of snuck up on me. I feel like we've been covering a lot of different news with the team and how we've been doing so far this season, and already going out to Kansas City. We're going to do it again three more times again this season. It's going to be the first of another great battle with them.
Yeah, unfortunate two legs away this year. But you know what? I would love for us to get a dub on the road, and I think they are not looking great at home this year. So before we get into it, Justin, I just want to cover off quickly. The MLS did announce there's going to be some new competition initiatives that are deployed this weekend. That's right. That is a fancy name of saying there are three new rules, the ones we've already mentioned on this podcast. And we're actually going to record a quick episode with George tomorrow to do a little bit of an in-depth dive on those. So it's the off-field treatment rule, which basically gets players up on their feet and if they're going to act like little sissies on the ground for too long. And then there is the time substitution rule. No more of clap, 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 and let me just scroll my way to the sidelines. You got to get off the field in 10 seconds or less. And then in-stadium VAR announcements. We're going live to the referee on the field for the call, and they do the actual explanation, just like NFL broadcast. So that's my quick and dirty. More depth to come tomorrow.
It's all going to be way better for us when you talk about it. It speeds the game up, and it also keeps the fans more involved, especially with the VAR side of things. But the treatment rule and the time substitutions, it's going to be an interesting one. We knew these were going to be coming out during the Kansas City game, Jake, and something, I'm promising you, of these three will happen in this game because that's just how it's going to work. So read the script. I pretty much just did. Quickly talking about the team, match day, team of the week. Klaus is on the bench there. MLS power rankings, we've already talked about it. It's pretty early on in the season. They're still pretty much just going with where you're at in the standings of the supporter shield. MLS, we were 22, now we're 17. ESPN, we're 19, and we used to be 23. So pretty consistent still, but still too early on. The thing that I want to cover before we get into Kansas City, Jake, is what the hell is going on with Big Sam?
Ooh, and let me just put the disclaimer out here. For anyone that is above speculation, I encourage you to mute right now because this is going to be full of it. All I can say, let's just get the objective out of the way, Justin, here, and that is that Carnell spoke about Sam's status on Tuesday during training, and he said, right now we are focusing on guys who can bring a certain standard, intensity, work effort in training, and those players will get rewarded. Sam, up until further notice, will be training on his own. You might be saying, what the F just happened? I mean, he was an integral part of the team prior to, I guess, the last week when he missed, you know, the whole even team sheet. My take on this, Justin, it's probably a conglomerate of a lot of different things. But I would say the two things that I know for sure is that we got an offer for him from Molde in Norway a couple of weeks ago. We turned it down despite it being above the current market valuation. We know he has aspirations to go to Europe. That we know. Secondarily, he's also kind of fallen down the pecking order. And when I say that, his depth chart position might still have remained the same, but this team is stuck with Klaus through his ruts, through his lack of goals and lack of just G's and A's, the hard G's and A's. And to some, especially like Sam, that probably can be pretty hard to sit behind a guy that's not producing, knowing that you have in your limited sample size. I am just guessing, Justin, that he probably did have some sort of verbal spat or something where he kind of laid into Carnell and maybe let him have it, because how else would you justify keeping one of your most dangerous players on the bench and honestly tanking what you could get for them in the summer if you are to sell them? So that's where I stand on this right now.
Yeah, I mean, that comment from Carnell is very similar to the one that he had about the game ahead of it, and saying that I'm going to focus on the guys that are going to willing to empty their tank. It was a very similar concept there. And yes, it's a ton of speculation when you see something like this. I understand the man's frustrated, but it's still a team sport. You got to be there through thick and thin. You cannot be lashing out. I'm very intrigued to hear if we will hear anything about this. I know there will definitely be something said, I would say, in the coming weeks, but I don't think we'll ever know the truly like what happened unless somebody leaks it. Like, what did Sam do? Did he just like go off on Carnell at practice, or is he just not giving it his all? So I'm very intrigued to see what's going on with all that. But I mean, in all honesty, we need Big Sam. So we got to figure this out a little bit quicker than it's like, I understand if it's like an internal punishment thing. Unfortunately, I doubt it's going to be figured out before this weekend's game.
No chance.
We'll see.
No chance. I would agree. My two positives are, one, if this is related to a SPAD or to how you're training or to how you're going about your business, I appreciate the intention from Carnell and team to keep team culture alive. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter how many goals you have this season for us. We're going to be punitive when you do violate those types of things. So I appreciate that. And two is, people are talking on Facebook like, there's no way back. This is it. He's played his last game. I don't agree at all. I've seen this happen multiple times during just watching a team like Arsenal, for example. Plenty of guys have thought they were bigger than the club at a certain time, and they've had to go through this exact same, you know, thing where, you know, you're kind of put on the outside, you're training on your own. And I do think there's a way back, and it's not very difficult. It is, you own up to your mistakes, that you're being, in this case, what we're subjectively, or what we're, you know, speculating as maybe being a little petulant at times, and poor me. But you apologize to the team for your behavior. You apologize to the coaching staff, and you right the ship by getting back on the field and working your freaking tail off. There is a way back. That's what I'm saying. I don't know if it'll happen soon, but he can definitely get reintegrated if he wants to.
I would say with this team and this chemistry, it's not going to be like, oh, this guy's getting sold now, we can't deal with him. There's going to be a forgiving period. We just got to make sure. And I'm sure that Sam, whatever happened, I'm sure he regrets it. And it's definitely a heat of the moment thing is what I would assume. So, and a guy like that, with how polite and nice Sam is, I think he will right the ship. It's just a matter of when. And then also, what is the time period for the forgiveness from the coaching staff and the team? I bet you the boys will hopefully be very willing to forgive him pretty quickly. It's just more of a, are they going to make it more of a, an example of something that we just don't take in a culture like this. So all of that still to come. I will say we talked on a couple injuries. I'll take the second two, Jake, and you take the one more about Leuven, and probably the most important one. Nothing real to update from Blum and Jarl. Blum was out 2 to 4 weeks with a hamstring, and this was as we announced this last week. And then Jarl, 4 weeks after re-aggravating his hamstring. So that is a week ago. So now we're looking at 1 to 3 weeks for Blum and probably 3-ish weeks for Jarl.
Yep. Yep. With initial estimates, who knows with this team? We've been known to give some shady estimates at time. Shout out to Klaus with 10 days, I believe it was last year. Yeah. Turned to 4 months. Leuven, the way Edu, the way Carnell is speaking about Edu versus speaking about Adeniran is shades of a totally different color, man. It's Edu with Leuven, it's, you know, a couple things are going on. We're trying to give him space needed. It sounds like there's still maybe a hint of injury in here, but also there's still definitely some personal stuff he's working through. So they're really being patient with him and how they speak about him. And I do want to make one last call back to the Sam situation. I like how they're handling it from an internal perspective. I don't know if I love the idea of Carnell, and I don't think he just aired him out to dry with the press yesterday on Tuesday, but I would rather him, I think, keep those things a little bit more internal and give your blanket statements that every coach gives when you're asked about these types of disciplinary issues. Just say it's disciplinary, it's internal. That's all I'm going to speak about that. So don't love that from Carnell, but he's been very loving and gentle towards Leuven, who clearly is going through something else entirely.
Yeah, so I do really hope that everything's going well with Leuven from a health perspective and a life perspective. And I agree with you. I think it's the same one's just difficult. I think it's probably some heated comments from Carnell as well. I'm sure he's difficult or pretty frustrated with dealing with this, so, and getting questions about it. But in my opinion, Jake, we should move on just like he should move on from that situation. And I think we should get into the Sporting Kansas City preview now. Quickly, very quickly, because we don't like how it ended last year, but we need to cover what did we do against Sporting last year. 5 total games, 3 in the regular season, 2 at home, 1 away, and then we obviously played them in the playoffs. The first one in May, we won 4-0, blew them out at home. Second one, September 2nd, we were at Kansas City, lost 2-1. September 30th, came back home, another four goal at home score, we won 4-1. Then the playoffs hit. Different story. I know we kind of felt it. Same thing with script writers. Kansas City came on. They were the first team ever to make the playoffs that didn't win any of their first 10 games. We are at home. We get absolutely stomped on. A 4-1 loss. And then November 5th, we end our season with our last game away at Kansas City. It was a 2-1 loss. It was on a Sunday. I also felt that scriptwriter a little bit because that was the game where Kansas City, the Chiefs were playing in Germany. Everybody in Kansas could go attend that game way out and wherever the hell they play their soccer games. Because it sure as hell isn't anywhere near close to civilization. I think the only thing there is like a Nike outlet mall that was maybe closed 10 years ago and like the signs like hanging off. that's where they play their games. But I guess all of Kansas City probably went out there in all of those games. Quick stats, 11 goals for us and 9 against. Looks pretty solid, pretty even. I know, unfortunately, we came out with the L's, 3 out of 5. 2 goals, very spread even from who scored. 2 goals from Klaus, 2 from Big Sam, 2 from Indy, and then 1 from Nico, Leuven, Stroud, Parker, Celio.
Yeah, it was a good regular season marred by a very tough postseason against them. So if you're asking me, I think the slate's pretty clean between these two teams, but plenty of history already in our short one season. So notable offseason incomings, outgoings for them. Zorhan Bassong was brought in to provide depth for Logan Ndembe, who tore his ACL when playing against us. In the MLS Cup, he was also just tearing up against us before he got hurt. And they also brought in Memo Rodriguez to provide a little more midfield depth as well. He's had over 150 matches in the MLS, so that'll be some good depth for them. No big stars, which isn't shocking, obviously. But outgoing, they sent off Roger Espinoza, who played 14 years with the club. Absolutely nuts. They sent back Gadi Kenda, sent him back. They just hit return on Amazon, and they opened up a DP slot in doing so. Obviously, Kenda had a good series against us as well, the MLS Cup playoffs. And then Graham Zusi, another longtime vet of the club after 15 years with them, was also declined on the contract option. So some notable outgoings, but more veterans, not necessarily big players for them. This season, I'd kind of say they're in this similar boat to us. You know, haven't started wonderfully. They're 2-2-4 win-loss draw, collected 10 points, sitting 9th in the West right behind us. And home record is the one I want to draw attention to. They're 1-2-2 win-loss draw, so struggling a bit at home. Yeah, they just played a game at Arrowhead, and they did lose that one as well. So it was that home-home. Yeah, because I actually think there were a lot of good fans there for Sporting. So key results, Justin. First, Philly, big draw, 1-1. That looks good. A 0-0 draw at LAFC. I think that also looks good. They've also then lost to LAFC and then lost to Miami, both of those at home. So, I draw some parallels between our season and theirs, but their strength of schedule has been far greater. But I also think they have their own weaknesses.
That's what I was going to say. I think their strength of schedule is pretty strong. And I will say it was definitely a home game. I think Taylor Schwellman came out and said that, like, you expected, like, oh, it was probably a ton of Miami fans. Like, no, it was mostly Kansas City and then some. So those are some pretty strong results, I will say. Then they beat Toronto 3-1. So nothing really big there. San Jose 2-1, two of the worst teams in the MLS. So they haven't played a whole lot of mid competition, if I'm trying to be hip and popular. Like, it's mid. Yeah, does that make sense?
It's you. You know who's not been mid for them is some of the players that we called out that have been performing well, and one of them being Willy Agata. Notably, I'd say we usually would have a guy like Alan Pulido in here. Pulido's not hitting the marks like he was last year yet, but neither was this team last year. So he's 24 years old. This is Agata. I'm talking about a 5'9", 165-pound Nigerian. 7 games played so far this season, only 4 of those being starts, but he's already scored 3 goals, which is a hell of a lot more than he had this time last season on a lot less minutes. So he's scored 2 of them against Miami. 2 of them against the Timbers and that 3-3 tie they have, which is a really fun game. I encourage you all to check those highlights out. Sporting just blew it.
Well, and so in that game, he created an XG of 2 solely on his own, which helped him jump up the leaderboard. He has 7th most XG in the MLS. So this guy's been creating chances for them. Next up, that one guy that I added in here that I don't think we really covered a whole lot last year, Jake Davis. He's a homegrown right back, 22-year-old, 5'10", 154 pounds from the U.S., obviously homegrown. Technically, his 4th season was with Sporting Kansas City, but he was signed in 2021. He was playing with Sporting Kansas City 2 for a while, where he led the team in assists, chances created, tackles, and he notched 4 goals for them while doing that. He's played every minute for Sporting this season in their first 8 games, and he has 1 goal and 2 assists already.
Yeah, he's solid, can get up the field, I'd say kind of like our Toulon. But he definitely was exposed in that Miami game, if you saw those highlights. Eric Tommy produced in the Miami game. I know a lot of recency, but I mean, who didn't watch that game? It was really fun to watch. Tommy had 29, he's 29 years old, had 2 goals in that Miami game. And this is his 3rd season with Sporting. He's got 5 goals and 11 assists as of last season. But I said already 3 goals this season. So he's off to a hot start against a good team in Miami. And both of those goals, one was like a clearance off of a corner that he volleyed out of the air into the near post, and another just rocket, just laser beam into the far post. So definitely a dangerous player to watch out for in the right wing. He has a DP for them. Just a couple quick names to think about as well. Daniel Chaloui, you know, obviously he wreaked some havoc last year in our series. Johnny Russell is their captain, a veteran of the game, but still super dangerous and a great goal scorer on his day. Alan Pulido, we already mentioned, he's a great forward. I'm sure he'll start as well in this game. And then Tim Melia, got a lot of saves, been a journeyman on this team. Great goalkeeper, in my opinion.
Dude, the Chaloui, Johnny Russell, Alan Pulido, like those were our key guys to watch last season. Combined, like Chaloui, 0 goals, 1 assist. Johnny Russell, he's only started four, or he's only played in 5 games, starting 4 of them. Alan Pulido led the team in goals at 14 last season, but only has 1 in 7 games played so far this year. Completely fallen off. You said Tim Melia, 4th most saves in MLS with 30, but he's tied for the 2nd most goals allowed in 13. So that's 3.75 saves per game, but he's allowing 1.6 goals per game. It's kind of similar in what I was thinking when I was looking at this, Jake, to the Austin game, letting up a ton of shots and a ton of goals, but he's making the saves that he's trying to do his best to do, but it's hard to keep out that many goals when you have that many shots on target.
And I think some of these names that we just talked about will shift up into the main players that we talk about as time goes on, because for me, I just think, again, they're having a slow start to the season, part of that being form, part of that being the teams you're playing against, but a lot of consistency in the coaching side for them. Pete Vermees is still their coach, has been there since 2009. What the hell, man? I mean, who gets to be at a club for that long in any league? I mean, he's coached over 500 matches for them, and he's the second most active W's. Sorry, active for active coaches, second most W's in the MLS right now. He just wears this suit of gold of pure plot armor. Whatever happens to Sporting, they had that 10-game stint last season, the very beginning when they were awful. Just like this season, not awful as bad, but still not great. He just seems to ride it over time. Just trust the process with him. He's just really become known for this really intense, high-pressing 4-3-3. And it works well when he's got good talent, good players that are producing at their levels. And it seems to be like they're starting to slowly get there this season. It's prettier soccer. They like to possess the ball. They like to create defensive gaps, kind of poke and prod their way through the opponents. And they do score some really nice goals. And they did against us last season. I remember some of those. They'll definitely use the width in our game as well. Mostly, I would say, looking down the left side, our right side. And they shoot, man. They have no problem taking shots from distance and creating chances.
Yeah, absolutely not. And the only thing that they do have a little bit of problem with, Jake, is when they're playing at home. I'd say in general, when you're looking at trends and storylines, their last 5 home games is a draw, win, loss, draw, loss. So that's 1.1 points per match at home with a -1 goal differential. Couldn't be us. Couldn't imagine that. Still haven't lost at home yet this year, even with all of our ties and crap that we've been dealing with. Their strength, we already talked about it, individual skill, finishing set pieces, scoring from long shots. But that's usually because of the guys that we mentioned that are not performing as well so far this year. But I do, like you said, I think they're going to turn it around. These are veterans. They're just a little bit of a slow start. Looking at their offense, again, a little bit more specifically, their XG of 1.5 per 90 is 11th in the MLS, and their 1.75 goals per game is 6th in the MLS. So they are scoring goals, but as we already talked about in some of these games, they are giving up goals. When you look at a loss to LAFC of 2-3, a loss to Miami of 2-3. So it's one of those things where, yeah, they can create the chances, they can finish, but it doesn't seem like their defensive line is really holding up.
And home, their home form, like you said, isn't great. They're producing at least goals with 1.5 XG and 10 of their 14 goals scored at home, scoring about every 45 minutes. Those goals typically coming about 30% of them in the last 15 minutes of the first half, and then another 20% of them in the second 15 minutes of the first half. So a big focus on the first half scoring for them. They have a big, I'd say, top 10 presence in most of the shot categories, shots on targets, goals per shot. But I want to draw set pieces and open play distinction. Set pieces, they're number 2 in XG created on set pieces and number 1 in goals. Ding, ding, ding. That's got to be going off in the video room this week for City. You've got to be on your game for set piece defending. Open play? Not so much, man. Bottom 3 in XG created in open play. So you got to worry about this team. Definitely keep top of mind. But on those set pieces, you've got to be so turned and flipped on to be making sure that you're marking your man, you know your position, and you go up with a vengeance. You go up to win this ball and clatter whoever stands in your way to do that. So I want to see that attitude come Saturday.
And that's right up with number one in goal scoring actions from dead balls. Number two in defensive actions leading to a goal. I think that's a lot of that, Jake, is probably attributable to taking the ball from someone and then getting fouled. And then it turns into a set piece. I think those are pretty closely related. And number five in 10 plus passes in the opposition half. So, but looking more back to their defensive side of things that we kind of touched on earlier, their XGA of 1.45 per 90 is pretty mid. And their 1.63 of goals against per game is eighth worst in the MLS. So we've talked about that. They're high up there on goal scoring, but also on goals allowed. Their home form specifically on that, 1.46 XGA is 24th in the MLS, allowing 11 of their 13 goals against while they're at home.
Yeah, and you've got to be – I'm salivating over that. But that's so rare to have a team performing that poorly at home, especially a team like Sporting, who we've seen have a great – standing at Children's Mercy Park. Those goals against are coming mostly in the second half. So they could do their damage in the first half and then have the damage done to them in the second half, which is why we're seeing them blow these leads in most of these games this season. They allow 46% of their goals against in the 61st to 75th minute and another third from the 76th to 90th. So that's got to give you some hope if you're a city that, you know what, things might not go our way in the first half, but you are never out of this game. They have been known to let teams right back in it. So you've got to keep the foot pressed against the gas, man. Just all gas in the second half for this team. Open play and set pieces defensively, they've allowed the eighth most goals in open play. So they definitely can get carved open themselves. I know they like to do that to opponents. Set pieces, they're below average in shots allowed and expected goals against, but they have allowed three goals against as well. And we've been a pretty decent set piece team ourselves.
Especially with some of these big guys. I know it's unlikely that we're going to have Sam, but I would hope that we're having Nilsson start this time. You look at Tim Parker getting up and you look at Joao Klaus. A couple of these guys can get up and not only just head balls, but then you look at guys whipping balls in like Indy and Celio. I would love to see us get a set piece goal in this game. Couple last notes on their defense. Fourth worst in passes per defensive action and top 10 in shot ending high turnovers. So basically saying that whenever you are pressing and you turn the ball over, they are top 10 and actually ending for a shot. They're number 7 in saves. And we talk about that. It's a lot for Tim Ilya. Their post shot XG minus goals against is a plus 3.3. He's up there. I feel like every time we talk about it with Roman Berkey, Roman's always a high positive number, meaning their goalkeeping is above average. And I feel like Tim Ilya is probably second most in that XG stat.
Yeah, they definitely are known to give up chances, but Tim Melia, for the most part, I feel like can stand up to a lot of those. So keys of the game, Justin, for me, it's we've heard this already in this season, but you definitely can't get away from your own game. This, for me, is a complementary matchup of two styles that will go well against each other, one where we like to kind of let them be on the front foot, and we'll play the back foot just fine. We're going to put you under pressure. We're going to take the ball off you, and we're going to go direct straight from there. Whereas they're going to kind of, like I said, poke and prod, possess, knock the ball around, look for those openings, and take advantage of them. I think if we can do that, we'll be successful. Look back at the Miami game. They scored two of their goals by high-pressuring Sporting into giveaways or misplaced passes. We're top 5 across every single pressing metric you can find. Passes per defensive action, gegenpressing, what have you. Let's use that and put these guys to the sword on that. Make them play their style just until we can take advantage of it. And I think, you know, watch for those tic-tac-toe, those little 1-2s. They're known to do those little quick and easy. They look easy on the eye. Possession tools that can kind of get you around, you know, pressure in certain situations. Just press is so important as a team, right? You can have one guy that's aligned to something and one guy that's missing his job. So when we do press, I want us to have everyone on board that we are going to do that and follow through on it, because make them beat us with a great, you know, a great passage of play, but don't let the press be our downfall as well.
We've talked about that. I've been waiting for our press to get back to what it was last year, knowing that energy drink soccer, letting our guys fly around. We haven't seen that. I would love to see us apply that in the Sporting Kansas City game. It's going to be an electric atmosphere. The boys are going to be hyped up for it. We're going in pissed off. I would love to see us kind of do that, but we need to do it carefully and in line with each other, because we talk about it all the time. If one person is one step late, the whole thing breaks down. So we'll see what kind of, I guess, tactics we go in with it. I would say one thing we've already mentioned multiple times, but I'm going to be very critical on this. If we give up a set piece goal, I'm going to be pretty frustrated. I think it's one thing if they're number one in the MLS for it, and that's one that it makes Sporting beat us through the run of play. I don't see them doing that, especially with the way that Durkin's been playing in front of the back four. We'll probably have Ostrock there again. You look at the back four, we should have Nilsson healthy. We're going to have a very strong back line with an extremely strong goalkeeper. Make them beat us through the run of play, not on set pieces. So when we do give up set pieces, which we will, stay tight, mark your man. No stupid fouls around the box to even give up set pieces for that good of shots. I will say also, then flip it onto a counter. Their leaky defense, Sporting Kansas City, has allowed 10 goals against in their last four games. Let's keep that rolling. There's no reason why we can't force turnovers, like you said, up high, and then a little quick tic-tac-toe and a finish.
I 100% agree. If there is a time to play this team and look for a result on the road and to get our first ever win notched against this team, it's right now. It'll be this Saturday. It is the time to play them. They're struggling at home. Their defense has looked like it's full of holes. We've got to take advantage of that. And we're coming off that W that we finally got, just the wind back in our sails. We got to get into this and get into it early. Justin, I'm looking at our goals for the game. You and I, we're both on the same page, just a little bit in a different way. My first one is a little bit more of a, not something you see on the stat sheet, but more of a, let's get that mental edge right away and put them on the ropes, or at least let them know that we're not going away anytime soon. Those MLS Cup playoffs, they're in the rear view. And so my goal for this game is, I don't care if Durkin, if it's Ostrock, if it's Klaus, what have you, Parker, I want someone to trade some paint really early on in this game and leave a mark. And I'm not saying a cheap yellow card or especially a dumb one like we saw last game, but I'm saying if you got a 50-50, I want you to leave a little extra on that one. Maybe go with the shoulder. You know, look to lay the lumber a little bit on this one. That's what I want to see.
And it's got to be early on to where it's not a repetitive nature to where we do get a yellow, because I don't want any yellows in the first 30 minutes, because then you know that Sporting Kansas City is going to attack that player, especially when they're playing defense, and try to get him out of the game. So my goal, very similar to yours, though, Jake, is with a little bit closer of like a hot start, score first. I don't know if it'll necessarily be in the first half or not, but you already know that that place is going to be absolutely bumping. They're going to be doing all about their stuff, about how they won against us last year. They're bringing out the cups and all that they've won, and everybody's going to be excited to be back in Kansas City versus St. Louis. They're in a little bit of a slump, but they're going to try to right their wrongs with us and think about last year. Score first. Don't let the place erupt.
Amen. Justin, let's roll into the Hoffman Brothers starting 11. Hoffman Brothers are a presenting sponsor of 2024. I just got the reminder on my phone today to change my air filters. Thank God I had that set up. If you don't have that set up, do it. But if you go in there and it looks like it's black, give our friends at Hoffman Brothers a call at 314-664-3011 or visit them online at Hoffman Bros, HOFFMANNBros.com. They'll be there to make that filter much better, fix any sort of damage you might have done by not setting that reminder. So give our friends at Hoffman Brothers a call as we hop into the Hoffman Brothers starting 11. I've tried to make this a thing, Justin, but I'm going to go back to Mark Hanek on my back four. I don't see Duyard coming in unless there's an injury or we're doing some fixture congestion at this point. I feel like Carnell likes him there. And I'm not saying it's been a bad thing either. So I'm going to go Berkey, Mark Hanek. I don't care between Hebert or Nilsson. I think Hebert had a great game last game. If Nilsson's not 100% ready to go, I think you start Hebert and then you stick Parker next to him and Totlin on the right.
So looking at that, Jake, and I'm trying to pull it up real quick, and as we move forward, then you would put Durkin and Ostrock in front of them with Celio, Indy, Alm, with Klaus up top. Would that be the same starting 11?
I think it would, unless Nilsson comes in for Hebert.
Yeah, because if we're looking at last week, it was Berkey, Totlin, Parker, Hebert, Mark Hanek,
yep.
Durkin, Ostrock, Alm, Indy, Celio, Klaus. So it could be one of those things where we've only done that four times, I think, in our history, where we do a similar back-to-back starting 11. I think we could see it again here. I thought especially with AZ coming off the bench, he looked a lot better in our last game against Austin, as we already talked about. Maybe don't go all the way and try to score a goal. We're already winning in the 89th minute, but unless I have money on us to score two, which I probably will again. We'll get to that later. But I would say I agree. I think it's going to be Mark Hanek again. I thought he played well. The only thing I thought was a little concerning was how much water he decided to come over. I don't know if he's like dealing with the flu. It wasn't that hot outside, but yeah, otherwise I would say I wouldn't be surprised if we put Nilsson there, but maybe Carnell doesn't want to start him on the road after coming off of injury.
And I feel that as well. Absolutely. So I'm good either way. Predictions and Grey Hammers, Justin, predictions. Spoiler alert, the boys are going to Dub City. I am on a 2-1 W. You are on a 3-2 W. And how do we round that out in our Grey Hammers? The money line for City is at plus 300, Sporting at minus 135, the draw at plus 285. Over-under set at 2.5 at minus 155, under 2.5 at plus 120. I'm going back to a parlay, Justin. I am expecting goals in this game. We've seen a lot of goals in this fixture in the past. I'm going both teams to score, plus the over 2.5 goals, which is at minus 115 right now. That hits 90% of the time when you combine Sporting at home and City away. Those two bets combine hit 90%. So I'm putting my money there.
So, you know, I love when we are big underdogs going with a double chance for us to either tie or win, and you cash your bet. That is even money. So if you want to throw your $10 on it, there's another free $10 coming right back your way. I will say I would like to look at our away over 1.5, but it's only hitting at a 32% clip. But you will be able to get that. Let me pull it up real quick, Jake. You can probably get some good odds on us to score two goals, plus 185. I'll be doing a sprinkle on that as well. I don't think that one goal is going to get it done. I don't see this being a 1-1 tie. And if we get one goal, I don't see us winning a game, because that's only happened once. I think we've gone away and scored a goal and won a game. But I'll do a little sprinkle on us to score two goals, but I'm going to hammer that double chance.
I love it. I love it. I think one goal puts the confidence right back in the team, and we're going to be in this for the full 90. So looking forward to it, man. It's such a gift to have this, to look forward to this rivalry, this I-70, Capital Clash, Barbecue, whatever you want to call it. I'll let you have it. But it is a fun fixture. We're not going to be there, unfortunately. I'll be at a wedding, but I will be watching, trust me. And we will be with you all for a recap back on Sunday for getting this back on track with them. I need this rivalry back in our corner. I know we can have the regular season. What matters is playoffs. But you know what? Let's just put this little notch and let's just get going again.
Dude, I'm a big fan of Barbecue. I haven't heard that yet.
Oh, yeah. You got to get in the know, man.
That's a great one. I also will not be there in person, but you better believe I'm going to be streaming it from the pitch, Jake, because this is going to be an incredible weekend. The Battlehawks kick off at 11:30 a.m., so I'm going to be staying in town not only for that. We're going to go up to the Kansas City game later on this year. I think it's July 20th, but just couldn't make it work this time with work and being out of town. But I'll be back in town. See us at the pitch. If you can't get to the pitch, it's going to be another relatively nice weekend. Go outside. Go for a walk. Get some Soul Juice. I know it's going to be a little bit colder this weekend, mid-50s, 60s. Still got to replenish. Go to souljuice.com. Get for 20% off using code BALLWATCHING. Go to your Schnucks, Deerbirds, Straub's. Go to your Costco. Ask for it. Let's get it in St. Louis. Luis has been killing it out in L.A. with the Costco's. He's moving to Hawaii as well for Soul Juice. But he's based in St. Louis. That's why we support so much. Go get some Soul Juice.
Amen. What a way to round it out, Justin. Thank you all for listening. If you want Double Trouble, we'll have Senbin out tomorrow as well on Thursday, breaking down those new competition initiatives. But everyone enjoy the lead-in for a great fixture. We've got our rivals this weekend, the first of three this season. Let's see if we can start that on the right foot. All for City.
All for City.